Good morning. This is October 29th, almost Halloween for those that celebrate. And we are continuing our study of the nature of error. Now, I'm pretty sure that I could give you all a test and say, what is error? And on the test, you would check or write hypnotism, suggestion, appearance, false image, and you would pass. I would read the results and give you an A. And then you could go your way and die from a horrible disease. Why? Because you never really understood the nature of error. And that's why we're studying this. Because you'll see in this chapter today, and everywhere else, that error is universal hypnotism. It's an image in thought that so hypnotizes you that you believe it. You see it as real, and you fight it. And fighting makes it worse. But somewhere along the line, you discover, wait a minute, Joel's saying that hypnotism is the cause, that there really is no cause, because hypnotism is not a cause. It can only create mental images. It can't create a person or a condition. So you start working with that principle. You don't understand it at first, but you may feel the rightness of it. Yes, it's an appearance, a suggestion, hypnotism, mesmerism. And then one day you sit down in your meditation and you're perhaps mulling that over. This is hypnotism. It's not reality. It's illusion. It has no substance behind it. God didn't make it. Therefore, it's without power. And as you're mulling that over, you come to a stop. And you remember, oh, but God is all. Only God is. And as you sit there in the silence, resting in that word that only God is, suddenly you feel a wonderful presence flooding into you, or around you, or both. And that presence breaks the hypnotism. You're snapped out of it. Oh, that's right. This is reality. Only God is. That is working with the principles until you experience a release. And that release is the breaking of the hypnotism. Now, we're looking at the Art of Spiritual Healing, this chapter 5, What Did Hinder You? I believe this is one of the best chapters ever written. You put this together with the 1955 Kailua Study Series chapter, which we're going to look at. And between the two of them, you should be able to get an understanding of the nature of error. All right. So he begins with, as children, you have all played the game where you make chalk marks, little squares on the sidewalk, somebody chases you until you are inside one of the square boxes, and you cannot get out until you pay a forfeit. Who says you cannot get out? There's only a chalk mark there to keep you in. But the rules of the game say you must remain there, and so you do. The Master, Christ Jesus, watched people imprisoned by chalk marks, multitudes of them. They sat crippled at the gates and in the streets, but he merely looked at them and said, "Wilt thou be made whole? Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And they arose and walked. They found that there was nothing hindering them. They were just obeying a rule of human life. We made a talk on that one time called, "But What If They're Wrong?" What if all these rules are wrong, and we've been going by them? We've been obeying them. The Master told us that we must become as little children in order to accept the truth. Very often the reason for delayed healings is the spiritual healer's inability to be childlike enough to see a white chalk line, where somebody else has seen a death date, or accepted a certain period as necessary for the disease to run its course. People see three chalk marks instead of one when it is an incurable disease, and they are locked more tightly than ever in their prison. An incurable disease? What could be worse than that? As a matter of fact, spiritual healing often has far greater success with incurable diseases than with the curable ones, because when a doctor says, "I've done all I can," the patient gives up hope of a cure from medicine, and in his hopelessness, he is receptive and responsive to the spiritual impulse. But what is hindering you? A belief? A theory? When you recognize it as but a belief or theory, all the white chalk lines begin to disappear out of your life. Because they are not there as barriers, they're there only as appearances, hypnotism. When Peter was in prison, all the iron bars and locks were real and seemingly impossible to break. Then the angel of the Lord appeared, the miracle happened, and he was outside the prison. But the bars were still there, and the locks were still there. That story of Peter and the angel appearing is so wonderful. That's what we just described. Peter's in a prison, and you may be in a prison. Perhaps you have some disease that you can't get out of, or lack, or limitation, or a personal relationship. But in your meditation, once you recognize, wait a minute, the locks, the prison looks very real, but I am not in that. And you feel the descent of the Spirit. That's the angel appearing, and voila, voila, you're outside the prison. All the appearance of locks are still there, but you're outside of it. The angel breaks the hypnotism. When you are faced with a problem, physical, mental, moral, or financial, remember, this is but the arm of flesh, hypnotism and appearance, trying to convince me that it is a power, but it has no power. It's only a mental image. Bunched together, get this, bunched together, all the errors, sin, disease, infection, contagion, death, lack, limitation, weather, climate, wars, and dispose of them as the arm of flesh, not worth fighting. Then you will begin to heal, and not until then. So we bunch them all together in the contemplative part of our meditation. All of this, all of these errors, this error somebody just hit me with, they called and asked for help. They wrote an email and asked for help. This error, this too is the arm of flesh, nothingness. This is hypnotism, a mental image that I have become so fascinated with that I think I have to treat, and I don't. There's no person. There's no condition. God never made them. God never made one person. But God did make something. And behold, it was very good. And so you come to an end of your contemplation, and you rest. Behold, it was very good. And then you feel an inner movement. And that inner movement breaks the hypnotism. Not your thoughts that you just had. That inner movement, the actual Christ, the descent of the Spirit, breaks the hypnotism and you awaken. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Father. Behold, it was very good. So bunch them all together. You bring yourself close to the kingdom of God when God becomes the all in all, and when every problem is dismissed as the arm of flesh, a white chalk line, no hindrance, nothingness. Now, he says, intellectually knowing this is inspiring. Entertaining it in thought is a grand experience. But one day something comes right up in front of you and says, I am cancer. And you begin to tremble all over. Then you discover that whereas you have been voicing the word, you have not yet come face to face with the reality of the word. And now you must begin to put it into practice and face the so-called enemy. Yes, you discover, oh my God, oh my God, I haven't got this principle. I've known it. I've read it, I've heard it, but I'm still trying to treat a condition. Face it, he says, look right at it, and see if you cannot translate it into a white chalk mark, or the arm of flesh, or hypnotism, and thereby come to that absolute conviction. I, God, in the midst of me, is the all in all. You out there, you are just a white chalk mark, the arm of flesh, nothingness. This is the nature of spiritual healing. Whether you are struggling with some form of sin, false appetite, disease, poverty, unemployment, or unhappiness. Stop struggling and wake up. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But it takes working with these principles until you really do see, by awakening, by the descent of the Spirit upon you, when it breaks the hypnotism, you go, oh, yeah, that was hypnotism. I was hypnotized. But now I am awake and aware of the presence. That's how you come into the consciousness that this is only hypnotism. Not by reading it, not by hearing it, not by knowing it intellectually. You come into the experience of the presence breaking the hypnotism and waking you up into the conscious awareness of itself. And then you go, ah, okay. And then you go on down the road and another claim is brought to you, and it's like you're starting all over. In the beginning, you have to start all over with it. Okay, now what was that last time? Of course, you can't hang on to yesterday's manna, but you can begin with some of its principles. Okay, it was hypnotism, that's right, and I recognized it. But that wasn't what brought the healing. What brought the healing was the breaking of the hypnotism and the waking up. So I'm going into meditation now, not to heal something, not to repair a person or a condition. I'm going into meditation to experience this presence, to awaken to it. Father, reveal thyself. It is the Father's good pleasure to give me the presence. Wake up to your spiritual identity. You're not a swimmer in a deep ocean. You're not a sufferer of disease. You are Christ consciousness, a child of God. And the very error you are fighting, you are perpetuating by that fighting. There is no need to struggle. Relax in the realization that in all this universe, there is only God appearing as you and as me. God's own undivided selfhood is individualized as you and me. Divine harmony is your destiny. Divine harmony is the destiny of every individual, whether he is living in good health or bad health, whether he is living in saintliness or sinfulness. The ultimate destiny of every one of us is divine harmony when we awaken. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. When you begin to grasp the meaning of awakening, then you will realize that the so-called errors of this world, the sins and diseases, lacks and limitations, do not exist as actual conditions or states of being, but as illusory pictures or concepts in the mind. It is only possible to heal spiritually when you know the unreal nature of that which is causing the trouble in your experience. Those of you who have studied metaphysics have been taught that the nature of sin and disease is illusion. You have been taught to call it mortal mind or nothingness. With most students, that illusion or that mortal mind or that nothingness still remains a something to be healed or removed. But nobody should have anything to get rid of after he knows that what has been troubling him is an illusion. So you see, when you're working with these principles intellectually, and you're calling it illusion, that's not waking up. That's kind of covering it over with words and thoughts. No, it's in your meditation, in that silence, in that moment you take no thought, that the presence is upon you, and you feel it, you know it aright. You know your own eternal life. And you awaken. Oh, okay, yeah. All right, yeah, that was hypnotism. The hypnotism has been broken. And you awaken to this wonderful presence. That is entirely different than just spouting off that it's an illusion. Once you perceive that that which Jesus called this world, that is the material sense of a universe, is really an illusion, you will know why the great master could overcome the world. He overcame it through the understanding that it was an illusion. Therein lay the overcoming. But see, understanding it's an illusion is what happens to you in your meditation when you awaken and it falls away. Thank you, Father. That was just a mental image. And now I'm aware of your presence, the all in all. That's where you awaken. That's where you understand, that's how you understand that it's an illusion. If you are to follow the example set by Jesus, you too will have to learn that the only way in which you can overcome this world is through knowing that a thing is not the thing you perceive it to be. A condition is not the condition you perceive it to be. A person is not the person you perceive him to be. What you are dealing with always is illusion. And knowing that it is an illusion should dissolve it and will, if there is real conviction in your knowing. Now that's one of those tricky things. Because it's sort of like the word faith, you know. That bothered me for a long time. If you had enough faith, and so on and so forth. Well, where do you get faith? I want some more. See, it's the same thing here. If you're knowing that it is an illusion, should dissolve it, and will if there is real conviction in your knowing. So where do I get that conviction? You don't get it by reading it, studying it with the mind. You don't get it by talking about it, by discussing it. You don't get it by listening to it. You get it in your inner temple. It's the only place it can come. And once you've done this 3, 4, 10 times and you've seen that the spirit really does break this hypnotism, for you awaken out of it and awaken to reality, to God in your midst. This is where the conviction comes. Now, I've done this 10 times or 12 times. I know it's an illusion. So now let me get still. Let me get back inside. Father, fulfill thyself. And then there's that inner movement. You see, it becomes a way of living for you. And so the conviction is out of your experience, not out of a book. This state of incomplete apprehension of the real and eternal is often spoken of in the infinite way as a state of hypnotism. An individual is, in a sense, born hypnotized by the very fact of being born into the human experience. Everyone about him perceives the material manifestation as the real existence, and so he too falls under the spell. He is hypnotized. Now that was something that he just whipped by you and you may have missed it. Everyone about him perceives the material manifestation as the real existence. So I wrote in the margin, not the real existence. This material manifestation that you're used to living in and under, well, that's the law. It's not a real existence. It's very real as an experience, but it's not reality. And so through the practice of these principles, you begin to awaken to the living God in which you live and move and have your being. That's the real existence. There is a universal hypnotism which strikes one person as disease, one as false appetite, one as sensuality, one as poverty, and another as something else. It is a universal hypnotism, and everybody, by virtue of having been born, is a victim of it. The effect of this universal hypnotism is to make a person accept disease, death, lack, limitation, unemployment, depression, wars, or accidents as reality. What is this, the third time he said this? We must lay the axe at the root of the tree. Do not bother about picking off the branches. Do not bother about healing a little piece of flesh and a little false appetite over there. Realize that in healing you are not dealing with a person. Now that's pretty heavy. That's a deep one. You are not dealing with a person. You are not dealing with a condition. You are dealing with universal hypnotism. Once you understand how this mesmerism operates, you will know why it is that everybody is a victim of the ills of this world, until he comprehends the nature of these errors. You have undoubtedly had many days where you have felt fearful without knowing whence or why it came. But had you gone outside, you probably would have seen a headline in a newspaper, or had you turned on your radio or TV, you might have found that the headlines were blaring forth some story of disaster. Your fear was the result of a universal hypnotism. It was not you. It was that universal thing that runs from person to person. And all of a sudden, you find yourself a victim of it. In spiritual healing, as taught and practiced in the infinite way, there's no mental cause, no individual mental cause for a physical condition. True, there is a mental cause for a physical effect, but it's not personal to the individual. It is a universal hypnotism in human consciousness, a universal belief in a self apart from God, which is hypnotic in its effect. Under this universal hypnosis, no matter what the disease, the patient is no more responsible for it than he is responsible for the wrong thinking that is supposed to have produced it. Do not be so metaphysical as to believe that he brought it on himself with his wrong thinking. Do not believe it. He is no more responsible for the wrong thinking than he is for the so-called effects of the wrong thinking, because in both cases he is a victim of a universal belief, a universal hypnotism, which he has accepted and which you and I have accepted. Something more is needed. Something must be introduced into your consciousness which will free you from wrong thinking and which will make wrong thinking an impossibility in your experience. And the first step is to stop condemning yourself. Stop blaming yourself for your sins. Stop blaming yourself for your diseases, your shortcomings. You will get nowhere by condemning either yourself or your neighbor. Remove this condemnation from yourself and realize that to whatever degree you are expressing negative qualities of mind or body, to that extent you have permitted world beliefs to be imposed upon you. Begin to understand that the nature of your being is God. The nature of your soul is God. The nature of your mind is God. And the nature of your body is the temple of God. Your very body is the temple of the living God, of God living. Do not condemn your mind. Do not call it a bad mind, or a mortal mind, or a material mind. There are no such minds. So he's wiped out the material sense of a universe. He's wiped out your physical sense of body. He's wiped out a mortal mind. There's only one mind, and that mind is an instrument of God. When you stop condemning your mind, you will find that your mind is a clear transparency for the soul. So when a person comes to you for help, do not sit in judgment on him. Do not criticize him. Don't blame him. Don't look around for his sins of omission or commission. Because even if he has any, they are only effects. They are not cause. Behind every fault and failure, there is a cause, but the cause is never personal. The cause is universal hypnotism. Now, one time I was walking with Herb Fitch on a famous golf course near his home in Hawaii, and I asked him, "Is the world mind hypnotism, is it omnipresent?" He said, "I do not believe so." He said, "It's just that wherever God is, world mind appears to be." Now that takes some meditating, so I'm not going to tell you what that means. This universal hypnotism strikes people unbeknownst to themselves, acting upon them so that when the world says it is raining outside, thousands of people catch cold. A spiritual healer is a person who understands that he is not dealing with colds. He's not dealing with cancer, tuberculosis, or polio. He's not dealing with prenatal influences. He's not dealing with change of life or old age. He is dealing with a misapprehension of reality called hypnotism, mesmerism, suggestion. These are not entities or identities. Hypnotism is something that causes a mental image. But that mental image is always without substance, law, or cause. And the moment the hypnotism is destroyed, the image is also destroyed. And so when within you have that experience, and the presence breaks the hypnotism, the image is also destroyed. A hypnotist can make you see a dozen donkeys dancing in your room, but there will not be one there. On the other hand, suppose you are so hypnotized that you are certain the donkeys are there. How are you going to get rid of them? There is only one way. Break the hypnotism. In spiritual healing, whether the claim is named Jones, Brown, or Smith, whether the claim is named cancer, tuberculosis, or polio, whether it is called unemployment, depression, or unhappy relationships, do not be tricked into treating persons or conditions. Leave them alone and get back to the substanceless substance to which you can give any name you like. Carnal mind, hypnotism, suggestion, it can be anything as long as you interpret it as meaning nothingness, no substance, no law, no cause. When you really begin to comprehend that in healing you are not dealing with people, when you learn to eliminate them and their specific claims from your thought, and in every instance deal with the root of the problem, the carnal mind, nothingness, the arm of flesh, nothingness, hypnotism, nothingness, mental image, nothingness. You will find how quickly you will be able to become consciously aware of a spiritual presence within you. This presence cannot be felt until you are free of the barrier. And the barrier is the belief in two powers. The barrier is the belief in something apart from God. Or the barrier is God and. The barrier is fear. But when you know, really know, that that which is appearing is only an appearance, a mental image, a nothingness, then you will find how quickly you will be able to become consciously aware of a spiritual presence within you. If you prefer, the word temptation can be used in place of hypnotism. The carnal mind is not the opposite of a divine mind, and you are not looking for a divine mind to do something to a carnal mind. The minute you have made the carnal mind a nothingness, the arm of flesh, you no longer have two powers, and you can do just what it says in Scripture. Rest in His Word. You can rest in the Word, waiting for the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon you. And when it comes, it breaks the hypnotism. So, can you break the hypnotism? No, you would have done it. Can all your truth-knowing break the hypnotism? No. Your truth-knowing can remind you that it's nothingness, that it's hypnotism. It doesn't belong to you or the person that came to you. It's universal hypnotism. And that can settle you down, because you must be free from fear to feel the presence of the Spirit. So you're really giving yourself the treatment. So settle down. Settle down. This is appearance. I'm not here to fight it. I'm not here to remove it. I'm not here to heal it. Now, Father, reveal thyself. And if you really are settled into that silence, the presence will be upon you. You will feel it. You will awaken. Only for a moment. I consider this next part to be the meat. for years after I had it. Now that's years after I had learned to recognize that all forms of sin, disease, lack, limitation, and depression, or whatnot, are hypnotism, the puzzle was to discover how to break that hypnotism. What could I do? Now here comes the answer. It was then that I discovered that scriptural passage, which you will find throughout all my writings. The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. By the time I had spent some months puzzling on its obscure meaning, the answer began to be apparent. Now, he spent years wondering how to break hypnotism. And then he spent months, after it was given to him, he spent months pondering this. The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Now, I'll give it to you, but you won't understand it until you have the experience. By the time I had spent some months puzzling on its obscure meaning, the answer began to be apparent. The weapon against error, our offense and our defense, is something that is neither physical nor mental, no action, no words, no thoughts, only the awareness of God. When I wrote here in the margin, when you are free from person or condition, then you can rest, and spirit is realized. It just comes. You can wait upon the Spirit of the Lord. I told you that story about two dogs barking. I was trying to have a meditation, and these dogs, oh my God, they were making such a racket. Eventually, I couldn't stand it anymore. I couldn't meditate. So I got up to find a rock to throw in their direction. But then I thought, wait a minute, what about these spiritual principles? So I didn't find a rock. I closed the door. I came back and sat down again. What is this noise, this ruckus? This is that universal hypnotism that says there's two powers in the universe. One sitting here getting ready to meditate, and one out there barking and barking at each other. Sounded like they were getting ready to go at it and fight for real. But I got quiet eventually. They didn't stop. And in my silence, where I was taking no thought, this is how I know that silence is not an absence of sound. Because they were making noise, and yet within myself I found the silence. And I felt the presence. And as soon as I felt the presence, unbeknownst to me, it broke the hypnotism. And after a few moments, I said, "Hey, wait, where are those dogs?" "They're gone." The noise was gone. My meditation had proven, yet again, that hypnotism is not a thing and not a condition. It's nothing. In the presence of God, it's nothing. Without that presence, it would go on forever. But in the conscious awareness of the presence of God, that's where it's nothing. And so hypnotism is nothingness in the presence. In Christ's presence, hypnotism is nothing. Everywhere else, it's operating willy-nilly, destroying people, places, and things. So you must be the one that brings that presence. So, our defense in our meditation is not mental. No action, no words, no thoughts, only the awareness of God. As you carry this into practice, watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, while you stand to the side as a witness or a beholder, eventually a state of peace will come. Then you will catch a glimpse of God as is. Not a power over anything, just God is. You begin to understand that no power does anything to anyone, and you become a beholder as reality begins to appear. All problems fade out in proportion as you develop this ability to be quiet, to behold, to witness divine harmony unfold. And because of the principle of oneness, your patient experiences this harmony. The principle behind this process is that inasmuch as the activity of the human mind is the substance and the activity of hypnotism, the activity of the human mind is the substance and the activity of hypnotism. When the human mind is not functioning, there is no more hypnotism. When you are not thinking thoughts or words, when you are in a stillness, the human mind is stopped. The hypnotism is gone. When you experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension of life. Yes, and when you feel something, the hypnotism is broken. You feel a release. You're released. Ah, thank you, Father. God is. You're released from the hypnotism. And so he says, do not battle the forms of error. Do not try to lop off rheumatism or tuberculosis or cancer. Do not try to lop off old age. Do not try to change the appearance world. Get back. Get back. Realize that in reality, God constitutes your being. And the only thing from which you are suffering is a universal belief in two powers, two presences, two selves. Get back and rest in the Word. If you battle one phase of error and defeat it, 10 others may pop up to take its place. You have to wipe out that which is the cause of the human discord. And what is that? Well, it's hypnotism, appearance, mental images, the fabric of nothingness, the so-called carnal mind, which is not a power except to those who are eternally fighting it. Now, here's your instruction from Joel. If, with every claim that comes to you, you can set aside any thought of the person involved, his name, and the nature of the claim, and if you can go back to some word or term which to you represents nothingness, not something that has to be fought, not something that has to be risen above, but just nothingness, so that you have only one power, then you can sit in meditation and you will feel the descent of the Holy Spirit. You will feel the peace that passes understanding. You will feel a divine presence and a release from fear or discord. And that, of course, is breaking the hypnotism. You are released in your feeling of the Holy Spirit, in your feeling of the peace that passes understanding, in your feeling of a divine presence. You are released. And further instructions: consciously remember as you go into your meditation that you are not praying for the purpose of changing, healing, reforming, or correcting anything or anybody. Establish this clearly in your mind. I am going into meditation, but there is no person involved, and there is no condition involved. So, you drop the person, you drop the condition. My meditation has nothing to do with the person. It has nothing to do with the condition. It has to do with realizing a spiritual presence right where I am. So now I am going to be silent and let that realization take place. And you stop. And when it descends upon you, you feel it. Trust me, you feel it. And you're released. The hypnotism is broken for you and anybody that turned to you. All that is necessary for harmony is God's grace realized. You do not have to know a lot of deep metaphysics. You have to know the simple things, the very simple things, such as the revelation of one power and the nothingness of the armies of the aliens, the nothingness of hypnotism, the nothingness of mental images. You understand that God is something more than a word. God is much more even than a long list of synonyms. God is more than a thought. God is an experience, and no one knows God until he has had this experience. So, I wrote here at the end, first, recognize all error as universal hypnotism, mental images in the human mind. Lump every error together. No person, no claim, no condition, just world mind, illusion, nothingness. That's first. Second, rest in the Word by realizing a scripture until, or rehearsing a scripture until peace descends. And then stay there, stand there, stock still. The Spirit descends. Release them. Rest. Let that Spirit, the Word, be upon you. Rest in that Spirit, the Word. So, first, you recognize the nothingness of universal hypnotism. Second, that allows you to rest. Perhaps you have something that comes into your mind, such as, "Fear not, it is I." And you rest in that Word until the Word descends upon you, the real Word. The Word that breaks the hypnotism. And it may be something simple. It may be just a feeling of the presence with no words at all. It may be the feeling of the presence with God is all in all. Who knows what it will be? But for you, it will be just right. Just exactly right. exactly what you need. And so the Spirit will be upon you. You will experience this release. The hypnotism breaks. And really, you're born again right then, aren't you? We must be born again, we are told. And that means being born into this divine universe where divine harmony takes place, where hypnotism is broken and you are released from its grips. You are no longer under the law of hypnotism. You're under the grace of God. Now let's be still for a moment. Father, reveal thyself. Let thy Spirit be upon me. Thy presence flow forth. Mental images have no power. Not one was created by God. And God saw what he had made, and behold, it was very good. So that which God made is with power, the power of harmony, the power of goodness, the power of grace, the power of life, the power of love, the power of Christ, the power of presence. And in this practice, step by step, we are awakened. The hypnotism is broken. We feel the release. We're standing outside the prison. All the appearances are still there, but we are outside the prison, experiencing the angel, the presence of God. And this presence reveals the spiritual creation, right where the bars and the locks appear to be. Now we behold the spiritual creation, totally and completely free, in God, in the presence. And so I offer this talk as your treats. You say, trick or treat? I say, tricks I have none, but here is a treat. Enjoy. Partake. Assimilate. Experience the grace of the presence upon you. I thank you again for drawing this out. This chapter and the 1955 Kahlua study we're going to look at, those two together will take you right into the kingdom of heaven. So you ask, why do we study the nature of error? Because it leads to the nature of prayer, which leads to the nature of God, which leads to your very own kingdom, the kingdom of God. So thank you, and blessings upon you and in you and through you. Blessings.